But we know that the Lord wants us to seek His truth. Times we hear things that we like. Other times we encounter material and other things that challenge us. And right here is where we find the truth. And there are things in here that do challenge us. But the Lord expects us to read this book, to study it, and to learn from His holy word all about Him. To accept the light that it gives. It gives in His truth as it illuminates our lives here on this earth. In the beginning, God. We've always read that many times. In the beginning was the Word. And it's really very clearly recorded in the Bible that God proclaims Himself as Creator, as Lord, and Savior. And the fundamental belief in the six-day creation is very really revealed there in God's Word also. Man today is trying to come up with other ideas for that, but clearly it is worded in the Word of God about the six-day creation. And that, in turn, in our worship services, we can focus on God as our Creator and what it really means for us in our lives. And what does it really mean for us in our lives as God is our Creator? You know? It also is to give us a worldwide sense of unity in promoting this belief in a positive light. And it, we have to give to the world in a positive light that God is the Creator of this earth that we live on. Let us have prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we study Thy Word constantly, we pray that the Holy Spirit is able to pry upon our mind the truth that is in Your Word, Father. You have made us the representatives of Your Word, and You want us to go out and give the gospel message that Jesus is coming again. The second coming is soon. But every word here in the Bible is true. Thou art the Creator, God, Creator of everything. And that You sustain it, and that You have given it to man to have dominion over it. We know that through sin, man lost it. But one day be restored to the second Adam. And we were waiting for that time when that will happen. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you turn to Isaiah 45:18. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we need to go back to school, probably. Most of us here think about it. But the earth. Three classical elements make up the earth. Land, sea, and air. We know that the earth's crust forms the land mass and the beds of the ocean. The water, which is unique to our planet. And also in the solar system are the influence of temperature and pressure currently balanced to allow water to exist in its three forms. Ice, liquid, and vapor. No other place. And then the third element, the atmosphere, is constantly circulating, heated from beneath by the Earth's re-radiation and reflection of the sun's heat, and from above to a small extent from the sun's radiation. It's also unique in this solar system, having the right type of atmosphere for humanity to live. No other place, you know. Created this Earth. In this little speck in the universe, even this a little speck in the Milky Way system. We know that there are other universes out there, other galaxies that God has created. But this is unique here in this universe, Earth, in the right place. And God put it there. God created matter, and He formed the Earth in the right place for for man to be able to live on it, for you and I to be able to live on it. And how did all this come about? A lot of speculation. They say that, scientists say that if they can't prove it, that it's not true. But how did it all come about? I think one of the first things that we need to know is that we need to believe God is an omnipotent being, as we read in the psalm, omnipotent. And an omnipotent God, having all power, God Almighty, has Almighty there, you know. And we read in Job 38:4, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? The first book of the Bible tells us that God created the world as we live in. In our sector of the universe is as I said. And it was accomplished in 6 literal days. Each day did not take thousands of years. 6 literal days. And as children of God, we have to truly believe that. And we know that, as I said, we can tell all about the trees, we can tell about nature, we can tell about our human body, how it's formed, what it does, how it functions. Man can even fix the body. But yet, we know that it is ultimately God who has created it, sustains us, sustains nature, sustains the earth. And as we know in Genesis 1, it has the 6-day creation in it. If you want to look there, you can. But I'm going to kind of shorten it up there a little bit. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. God called the light and the light day, and the darkness night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And on the second day, he divided the waters above and below the firmament, which he called heaven. Then on the third day, God created dry land and the seas, planted grass and trees. On the fourth day, God created the sun and the moon and the stars. On the fifth day, came forth what? Fifth day. Nobody knows? That's right. Fish and birds. And on the sixth day, God brought forth the land animals and all creatures, big and small. But yet we know that he wasn't done. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. God created the heavens and the earth and created our first parents, Adam and Eve. Even Jesus himself spoke about the Genesis account as if it was authentic and factual in Matthew 19:4 and Mark 10:6. For man to have completely the factual truths of the universe, man would have missed the most vital aspect of God's revelation. So he did not allow us to have that. And what is the most vital aspect of God's revelation? What has God revealed to us? His plan to save us from sin. We can use what Jesus revealed about the Holy Spirit, who inspired the Bible writers to have the assurance that God indeed was and is the author. He is the creator and the sustainer of this earth that we live on. We owe everything to God. Man is so proud of himself that he thinks all of this is done by him. All the things that we have, all the technology we have in this world, man is developed by himself. But we know that that's not true. We know that God has given us that ability to be able to do this. But he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Psalms 33:9. And what does one see when they go to nature? What do you see when you look at nature? Because we're able to go out there and look at it and to have the joy of communing in nature. That's right, beauty, he said. Almost infinite variety. So many varieties, we can't count them all. Discernible patterns, structure, purpose, unquestionable adaptation. There is also modification, but there is also some degree of cruelty in the animal world. There's unnecessary multiplication. There's confusion, but there's also general order. As we did our lesson study this morning, order in a camp of Israel, commanded by God, set up by God, that Israel was to follow. And we know that nature is not always beautiful, but it is. We see it even with the blight of sin upon it. Nor is it always bountiful. And there's many negative aspects or elements of nature. But to explain the present state of our earth, all we have to do is look at the problem of sin. That the one that stood high in the heaven came about with. The one that stood in the heavenly councils is the cause of all the troubles, all the defects that we have in nature. But we need to look at creation to see what how creation tells us about God. We know that God is the architect, tells of his greatness, his wisdom that we all think that we have, his power, and his vast domain. Everything belongs to God. There's nothing in that vast domain that does not belong to him. But God has the ability to care for the infinite, minute details, and even man questions that. And as I said, we don't even doubt that he's numbered the hairs of our head. Or he knows when a sparrow is injured and falls lifeless to the ground. Romans 1:20 in Revised Standard Version says, ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that has been made. And we know that as we look at nature that we can see. In the beginning, God. The mind is, you know, is an eager questioning as we look at the creation of this world, as we look at nature. But we are like fleeing as a dove to the ark. We can't find rest in studying creation and studying nature. And I pray that each one of us does that. You know, above, beneath, beyond shows infinite love. And it works all things out to accomplish the goodness of the good pleasure of his goodness. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. But to truly understand everything that's in this Bible, which is going to take us eternity, but to understand even nature, we need a divine teacher. Everything that we've learned, everything that man learns, has come from God. But to really learn and to see and truly know the truths of creation, we have to have a divine teacher. The things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:11. I know that probably most of us should have got the Adventist World for this month. I don't know if you have or not. But in here, Celebrating Creation by George Jaylor, J-A-V-O-R here. Very good, interesting thing there, and telling other things there that I can't, you know, talk about knowing there, but if we do, you know, scientists can tell us, just study biology, study the earth, you know. I have one cousin that he's made a lifetime occupation of studying of all about dirt. He knows everything there is to know about dirt, you know, and it's brought him a good living, so I didn't know it. But all of, you know, telling everything here about it. In creation, there's so much more with creation than just these 6 days. And knowing these things. You know. And we would say we could tell the trees and this and that, but where did it come from? How did it start? We cannot know that. God has not revealed that to us. He told us that He has done it, and that's all we need to know. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. John 16:13. In the book Education, page 134, only under the direction of the Omnipotence, one shall we see in the study of His works, be enabled to think His thoughts after Him. We need to be constantly remember the impact of sin upon ourselves and upon our capacities. It's hindered us, this sin problem. It gives us great difficulty in reading God's Word, than reading His revelation that He reveals about Himself and about His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, only if we could know and understand God. There's many things that we are going to have to unlearn. Many things that we're going to need to re-know. There's many things that we are going to understand one day, but not everything. But what Adam and Eve lost because of disobedience, what we're not are not able to have the capacity today for because of disobedience. And we know that we could go on with the subject of creation, but keep going. We all day long we could talk about creation. But without, as we do talk about the six-day creation, the subject of creation, there's one thing that we can't leave out. What is that? What's the one thing we can't leave out of this six-day creation? That's right. Ginger said, the Sabbath day. You know. And then God blessed the seventh day, and He rested on it. The seventh day Sabbath, which we have come to know and love, honors the creation of our planet. That's why God invented and created this weekly event, so that man through the centuries would remember and we would honor God as the creator of mankind in our world. Adam and Eve, celebrating, communing with God on that first Sabbath. Must have been a spectacular sight. For God Himself to come down from His throne and walk and talk with our first parents on that first Sabbath. How many more that they were able to do after that first one in the Garden of Eden, we don't know. One day maybe we'll find out, you know. But very soon, each and every one of us here is going to be able to have that privilege of communing with God on the Sabbath. To be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the Sabbath. No matter where we are in the universe, each Sabbath to be able to come to the New Jerusalem, to this throne of God and to sit at the feet of Jesus. What a privilege we're going to have. We know that the Bible is a collection of 66 separate writings, 66 separate books, and from beginning from end, from Genesis to Revelation, the Holy Spirit constantly speaks about the importance of God's holy Sabbath. Every time we rest upon the Sabbath, as God did at creation, we commemorate that good event, just as Jewish people commemorated the Passover, and down through the ages, we are going to be able to commemorate the seventh-day Sabbath. The seventh-day Sabbath was commanded by the living God, Deuteronomy 4, 12, and 13. It is the sign of the true God. I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Ezekiel 20, 19, and 20. Instead of abolishing the Sabbath, Jesus carefully taught how it should be observed. Matthew 12, 1 through 13. And as I said, we could stay here all day, talk about the seventh-day Sabbath. But time is running out. And one thing I found out as I was studying for this, and I might have known it, but not sure, but the seventh-day work or the seventh-day week was almost known in ancient cultures. The Egyptians didn't have a seven-day week. The Jewish people were able to put that in just when it started, I'm not sure, but we know that we go by the Julian calendar today. The only change on it was the 10 days that was dropped, you know. And this is one of the reasons why the Jewish people had to be reminded of it in their Egyptian captivity, because the Egyptians did not have a seven-day week. You know, everything ran together. But we know that the day comes from the rotation of our planet, the month from the moon circling the earth, and the year from our world going around the sun. But we know that the week only comes from one place. That comes from God, his seventh-day Sabbath, that we are to honor each week that it comes to us. We know that we are God's people. In 1 Peter 2:21, the Lord tells us to follow in his steps. And we know that Jesus kept the Sabbath all of his days of his life. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath, Matthew 12:8. At the close of the thousand-year millennium, when the Lord creates the new earth, the Sabbath will still be forever be observed. We're observing the Sabbath now, and we will continue through eternity with the Sabbath day coming every seventh day. 6 days we're going to work. I think we already had the assurance that it's not going to be hard. Just what we're going to do, but it tells we're going to build. We're going to plant gardens. What a time we're going to have in the new earth. A life that God has prepared for us, has set up for us, and he's waiting for us to respond to his calling. And we can read about that in Isaiah 66. If you turn to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. To be before the Lord. Waiting for that time, and I pray that each one of us are also waiting for that. Pray that each one of us will be there, and that we contemplate upon this earth now about the Sabbath and contemplate on what it's going to be like in a new earth. We know there's many things that we need to do now to prepare for it. Some are ready now, some are not ready. We have to get ourselves ready first, and then we need to help others be ready for that second coming that is coming soon. And I just pray once again that each one of us is there. Our Heavenly Father, yes, all things bright and beautiful. Thank you, Father, that we may look at nature and see your handiwork. We know that you have prepared all this for us, and in one day it would even be better than before. We are waiting for the time that Jesus will come to bring take us home. And for eternity, we will be ever studying your creation, ever studying your love, ever studying the plan of redemption, ever studying everything that you have created. Thank you, Father, that we are your children and that we may call upon thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen.